God, and I praise God. Praise God for you, Mac. You know, where you at, the Lord. And you know, one thing that Travis went around saying for a long time, you can go ahead and start it if you want to. But first place, final authority, been talking about that. But he told me one time when he started making his mind up that he was going to serve the Lord. You know, and in every area he began to make his mind up and make that choice, that quality decision, grace kicked in. He said it's easy when you make your mind up. He said, when you get your mind made up, he said, then Satan can't do nothing to you. The flesh can't stop you because your mind is made up. And he said, and then here comes God's ability to help me, you know. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, how the Lord will take us if we take his word, put it in like Mac's doing. You know, I don't understand everything in the Bible. The Bible says we know in part. But you know what? He's enlightening us more and more and more as we are yielding to the Word of God. Make a little example. You know, the Lord brought this statement to me first place final authority, talking about the Word of God. You know, and I didn't understand it. You know, that's why I preach it a lot. You know, because faith comes by hearing, understanding. We get understanding and all of that. And then we get opportunity when opportunity arises to put the word first place. What that means is when things are not working out to me, I think about the word. What's the word say? That's the first thing that I think. It's automatic to me. It becomes automatic to you to go to the word once you train yourself to do that. What you're doing is you're renewing your mind. The Bible says for us that we have the mind of Christ. Well, you got to know the Word of God and all of that stuff. But anyways, God wants to prosper us. Just like the United States, God spoke to me back in October, and He said the United States is divided. You know, and we've seen that happen, real division for several years in there in two parties, you know. And he said, and my church is divided. He was talking about in a whole, you know. He said, but I'm going to bring it together. I'm going to unite it. I'm going to unite the church. And I brought that to the church, and then things started happening, you know, and God began to do it. And I've seen all kinds of denominational people that were denominational that throwed it down in my arena, you know, and considered themselves just Christians. Amen? When we're like that, you know, well, there's only one church. There's only one God, one faith, one baptism. There's only one, you know, and he's doing a work in us all. He's bringing us, one of the first things that God began to deal with me, you know, back when I was 3 or 4 months old in the Lord, was love. I mean, you know, and because he had put it in me to teach God, his people, how to prosper. I didn't even know that then. But how many knows if you want your faith to work, then you walk in love. If I walk in love, I'm going to be faithful to church, to my brothers and sisters, right? Whatever it costs. Why am I saying that? Because the word is first place and final authority. It says for Scotty, I'm going to put Scotty. Scotty, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner as some are, but much more as you see the day approaching, talking about the coming of the Lord, provoke one another to good works, talking about going to church. You know, and so that's one of the, and then when I did that going to church, then he began to bring the Word of God on love to me. And I mean, I didn't understand. I didn't know that love was already in me, that God loved me. I didn't know that God loved me the same way he loved Jesus. But I do now. I do now. He put Jesus on the cross to express his love that he had to me, right? And so that came to me, and I thought, man, God loves us. I mean, God really loves us. And when you know that somebody loves you, then you have confidence in that person that they got you, right? If you know a person, now people may tell you, I love you, and then you get in need and they not going to help you. You know, but God is not like that kind of love. This kind of love is a enduring, long, patient. I'm talking about, and we got it on the inside of us. But see, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, now I'm preaching the Word. I'm not just quoting you scriptures. Galatians 5, 6 says, faith works by love. Whew, y'all getting it? I got it. In other words, if I want mountain-moving faith that comes through the Word by the Spirit of God to work, then I got to walk in love. If I want all of my needs met according to His riches, His Word says that He will supply all His people's needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Now, in order for me to believe that, I must walk in love for that to be quickened to me by the Spirit of God. You know, and so God brought that in there, you know, about love. Love can't be offended. See, if you walk in love, somebody can't hurt your feelings. You ain't got none. Because love's not a feeling. Feelings can come with it, but love is a commitment. Love is commitment. God was committed. He's committed to us. It's like Johnny said, you know, God was as good to me as He could be before I got born again. But boy, has He been good to me since I've been following Him. Oh, I've been walking with Him. I've been leaning on Him. Praise God. I still do. I walked around the church and I said, God, help me preach tonight. Help me walk under that anointing so that Your people will be edified. And then, you know, I'm believing that You got ears and You got ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to you, praise God. And you know what? The Bible says that the entrance of God's Word brings light. The entrance of the Word in my ear and in my heart brings illumination. It brings revelation. That's why you can't break me financially. And people call it bragging, boy, Scotty, this, blah, blah. They can think what they want to. I'm down there, ain't got nothing, ain't got nothing. But I got hold of the Word. That God said He would prosper me. He would bless me going in, going out. Praise God. In the city, in my house. Hallelujah. He would bless me. Bless the fruits of my body. I got a hold of that Word and I thought, that is mine. Hallelujah. And I'm going to believe that God will do it. Then God says, walk in love. And I'm like, I'll deal with that later. Just get faith going. Oh, Lord, thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord. I got enough money to pay everybody's house off. He knows good and well I wasn't going to pay it off. I was doing some wishful thinking. Then before you know it, praise God, I'm like, glory to God, I'll only be led by You, God. Whatever You do, when You bless me, I'm going to be led by You. Well, I got that out of the Word. Romans 8:14 says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you need that scripture. You really don't need the scripture on prospering yet. Get it in there. But meditate on those things that I had something in my life for years as a Christian. And I took Romans over there year after year after year. I didn't quit. I thought God's Word don't return void. It goes and does what I send it out into me to do, praise God. And that particular area, that's just one. I mean, it went years, years. And I didn't really believe I could ever get free. But you know what? I didn't give up because I thought God's Word don't lie. And so I would say sin has no dominion over them. Thank You, Lord. Jesus set me free on the cross, and I walked into freedom when I give my heart to Jesus, and I'm free from that. And I said it every day just about for years. And you know what? There come a day when it worked. See, winners don't quit. But quitters don't never win much. They might get a little spout here and there, hallelujah. But you know what? Just like we're experiencing the air conditioning, I am overjoyed with this air conditioning system. I mean the pressure on me that Dave's head might sweat. while we're having service, and that'll hinder him. Y'all, some of y'all women have hot flashes, and that just helps y'all heat up a little more. I guess that's what it does, hot flashes. I don't know. I ain't going to ever get them. Shingles tried to stay with me, but I didn't let it stay but 2 or 3 days. It attacked me, and I got hold of the book. The Bible says no weapons formed against you will prosper. Well, now God's not going to do anything other than what he's already done. God's already set his word into motion, the laws of the kingdom of God. And we grab hold of the laws, the kingdom, and we put it into action into our life by our thinking, by our actions, by our words. I've told Satan, I've walked out and told Satan, I'll never be defeated again. I will never be broke again. I will never this, and I proclaim, because God's word says this. You know why I do that, Johnny? Because Jesus did it. Jesus did it in Mark. He quoted the scriptures to Satan. Hallelujah. Once you got born again, you come out from under the powers of darkness, so stop fighting demons. Put them under your feet. They lied. I was down on the streets down yonder going to the homeless back yonder about 8 months into being born again. And I'm just looking for demon-possessed people. I want them, man. I'm like, I want some demon-possessed people. But God, they say they sound, well, they're out there all talking to themselves, fighting, doing different things, you know. Nothing's there. They're talking. So I went up to one and I said, who you talking to? Huh? Well, I mean, I'm battling with Satan. I said, you're battling thoughts. Satan only has suggestion. I said, you don't contend with him. See, Satan will defeat you if you get in his ring. If you get in the arena with him, he'll deceive you. He can't really, you know. And so I told him, I said, no, nah. I said, Jesus, if you'll accept Jesus into your life. There was this guy in jail one time, and he sent the preacher. I was the only preacher going there, and they said that guy up there, he wants to see you up there. Went upstairs up there, and somebody over in California, he is in the federal prison, and they transferred him to Blount County, and having to stay there and moved him somewhere else. But anyhow, he's there and he's telling me, he said, my girlfriend's killing me. I said, how's she killing you? You're in here. He said, she's doing voodoo on me. She said, fixed up a voodoo doll and she jabs it in my chest and jabs it in my back and all of that stuff, you know. And I listened to him out, you know, and I thought, I know Satan's real. I've seen a man melt, go down to the ground, shoot across the room and back up and tell me what road I come across in a demonic voice. I seen it with my own eyes or I wouldn't have believed it. And so I've tried to get him to let me pray for him. He backed up and wouldn't let me pray for him. So I told that guy, I said, listen, see, I already know what the word says, that Satan is a defeated foe, that Jesus Christ stripped him of all power. And the Bible says that he give us power over all the powers of darkness, and he by any no means can hurt you. He can't hurt you. He can torment you if you let him. That's where you put him under your feet. He's under, Jesus bruised his head, bruised his heel, crushed his head, right? That's where we get. He's under our feet. He's under the authority of Jesus, and we're in Jesus. Teresa's air conditioner, I'll finish telling you the story. See, I'd begin to put God's word first place and final authority, and he was putting me in places where I could get people set free. We don't contain no power on our own. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the authority of Jesus in us that gives us the authority over Satan, over things, dominions, that has got strongholds and all of that, you know. Well, anyways, I told him, I said, I can help you. I said, I can help you. I said, boy, that'll never happen to you again. I said, I believe it's real. I believe it happening. People operate in witchcraft. We can operate in witchcraft as Christians. Ouija boards, tarot cards, soothsayers, tarot card readers, you know. They went to them in the Old Testament. Seers, they called them seers. You know, well anyways, I told him, I said, I can take authority over that. I said, but I can't keep it. I said, you're going to have to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and come out from under the powers of darkness. I said, and that person will have no more power over you. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ that day. And I went back the next Thursday and he said, "I it's not happened to me since." I said, just stay following Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. They would tell me in church, old man, stand up. See, we don't have to understand and have seven steps to do this Christianity thing. All we got to do is have a heart after God, meditate on His Word. If He told Joshua to meditate on the Word day and night, well then you know what? I ain't got time to meditate on Satan and problems and all of that if I'm meditating on the Word of God. Went to the men's meeting Saturday and one of my guys I growed up with, he's standing there and he said, you enjoying the heat? And I said, no, I'm not enjoying it. I said, but I'm praising Him. He looked at me, laughed. I said, no, I meant that. I said, I'm not enjoying that heat, but I'm going to praise Him in it. Hallelujah. The heat's tough on everybody. Hallelujah. But us Christians, we can praise Him right on through it. We can praise Him in God's grace. He'll bring you glory wind. He'll put you in position. He'll do whatever He needs to do, praise God. But God's Word has to be first place and final authority. You got affliction in your body? What does God's Word say about you? What does it say about it? It says, by His stripes ye were healed, right? Well, then what you going to do about it? Oh, doctor said there ain't nothing. Whose report you going to believe Isaiah said? I'm going to believe what the Bible says. He says that no weapons formed against me will prosper, right? You know, well, the doctors will tell you it's just your old age or you're getting this or you're getting that. They told me I had a little arthritis up in my shoulders and all that. And I left out there and I said, thank you, Lord, I got a name. Now every name that is named has to bow at the name. Ain't that what the Scripture says? So I started laying my hands on it and rebuking it. I said, you're going to leave this temple. This temple belongs to God. This body, this car here belongs to the Lord. And you are alien in it. Hallelujah. That's what you do. You first place in final authority with the Word of God. See, the Bible says in Psalmist David said, you can put it up there, Psalms 119, maybe 105. I quoted your 120. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That stuck out to me one day and I said, God, what does that mean? I said, what does that mean? I knew it stuck out to me. For some reason it meant something. Because there's a lot of reading in Psalms in there. And over the course of time I began to realize, you know, that God's Word is a lamp to my feet. It shows me how to go, right? Shows me what to believe. And then it tells me who I am. Without God's Word, you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. Without God's Word, you don't know you're more than a conqueror, right? See, we don't just need to quote it, we need to believe it. We need to be doers of the Word, not hearers of it only. See, I know a lot of the Word, but the only part of the Word that works for me is the one I embrace and begin to walk out and apply. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not divorced. I borrowed the money and paid for a divorce. Made payments on a divorce, and we got back together the day before it was final. I made payments on that divorce, Mac. I paid for a full divorce. I borrowed the money. The lawyer ain't going to give me my money back, right? So I can't give it back to the borrowed where I borrowed it. So I made payments on a divorce that I never got. You know why I didn't get it? It's in God's Word. He hates divorce. Pray God, if you've ever been divorced, don't be all beat up and condemned and all of that stuff, pray God. But I mean, set your heart and mind if you ever get married again. You don't care how you feel or what you go through, you're not breaking covenant with God again. And then you teach your kids and grandkids and teenagers and all of that stuff. Praise God. I told Travis when he was dating, I said, you ain't going to try one and dump them and break their hearts and all that stuff, son. You need to pray and you need to fast and you need to see and let God send the one into your life, which he didn't, but we did. Because he was under our authority. Well, you know what? Praise God. Along come little Bethy. You know, long come little Bethy, he dated this in a little bit, and it was too far to drive to Grant. It cost him $5 worth of gas. That was terrible to him. Stupid. He's dating Beth, and it's costing him $20 a week, 15 gas, whatever it is. He said, that's crazy. I'm wasting money. I just might as well get married. See, you can't be led by money, right? But seeking the Lord, hallelujah. I mean, about mate and different things, you know. Well, just like I've been asked by a brother Adedola to be on the board, and he's starting another ministry, and, you know, and praise God and all of that stuff, and want me to be a part of it, and, you know, and call me up and pray and fast about stuff and all of that stuff, you know, and it sounds all exciting. And so I got off the phone with him, and I said, well, I'll find out. So I've been fasting and carrying it before the Lord. If he don't want me doing it, guess what? I'm not going. If he wants me doing it, guess what? I'm going. I'll have to fly out of here. Every 3 months, I'll have to fly to Pennsylvania or somewhere, you know. But the Scripture does say, go ye into all the world, right? Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking how that I didn't get into details when I knew the Lord wanted me to do something. When he wanted me to go to the jails, when he wanted me to be faithful to church, when he wanted me, I just thought, this is God's will. See, I wanted God's will. If you really want God's will, then God will reveal his will to you. He wants to reveal his will to you. And if you really want his will, and praise God, and he'll begin to reveal his will. See, I didn't get into details. I go on Thursday night in jail, man. I gotta get up 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, I don't get off till 5 o'clock, and I don't have time to put a message together. Had a guy one time, you know, called on him to preach, and he said, "Well, I need about 3 weeks to get ready." I said, "Really? 3 weeks? Seriously?" I mean, well, I done come through that school early, get off 5 o'clock, run home, don't eat no supper, get in there and find out, look all day what God's wanting to do, and then head off to the jail and have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and go tote sheetrock, hallelujah. And I didn't think one minute, God, I can't do your will. I thought, God, you will help me do your will. You will empower me to do your will. You will bring grace into my life. See, you standing on Satan and crushing his head and taking up serpents out here is the will of God. But if he's got you convinced that he's just battling with you all the time, you know, got you convinced of that stuff, you're supposed to be running him off. I said it in here, I think it was Sunday, praise God. I said, I've had opportunity to get mad at everybody in here except you. And this is your third service, and I ain't found nothing yet. But I'm being serious. You just know, you know what? I don't pick offense. I don't take it. I have opportunities all the time to get discouraged. I just don't pick the fruit of it. I have opportunities all the time to quit my business and different things because things don't go right. It's hot. I've been on 3 jobs this week. Travis laying down yonder on the beach down there on callbacks, and I paid him good to go do them. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, your mercy, right? I go in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I can sit back. I can't make it without him, Lord. I just can't make it without him, Lord. I'll have to drive. He's been chauffeuring me around ever since I had open heart surgery. Because I wanted to. I've been driving for 50-something years, you know. And I'm wanting to ride and enjoy it a little bit. Now I get to sit over there, lock the hands, and just play eight ball if I want to on my phone, or, you know, just, you know, to look at Facebook and see what the Mantha's putting on there all day long. She's got time on her hands. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? Don't take offense. Walk in love. Walk in that love. You walking in that love, God will surround you with love. Ask Samantha, Cassandra. I can't thank him enough. All the people he put in my life. I went away from him for 3 years, but I'm back. And I just pray God can't. I can't copy you. I'm trying. Sandy, she can't hardly testify. I can't say nothing. Well, don't. Just dry it up until you can talk, and then we'll. Not when the Lord's on you like that, you just, he'll mess you up. He'll make you feel like, what'd you say? I feel like I'm jacked up.
Yeah.
Well, boom, boom. I know what you mean. Got that rush going on the inside. You calm down a little. He's high without cocaine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We are. See, we're high. You know, we're high sometimes because we're in the Lord and we don't realize it till we come out. That's why we feel so miserable. Right? You stay in Him. The Lord spoke to me one time. He said, if you don't get down, you don't have to get up. He said, you don't have to get down. You don't have to be discouraged. He said, you choose to be discouraged. He said, because I am your encourager. I just read that Psalms 34 that John, I praise God he shared that. I just read that before I came to church, you know. I called on the Lord and he delivered me out of all his troubles. The poor man is what it says. The poor man cried unto the Lord and the Lord delivered him out of all of his troubles. Well, you know what? I read that way back under and I thought, I'm a poor man and you're going to deliver me out of all of my troubles, God. And you know what? Praise God, he did. He started moving in the troubles in my life. He's still doing it today. I told the Lord we hadn't done no work 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm fine with that. I'm a busy man without work. I work on church and garden and all kind of good stuff, you know, going on. And but anyhow, I told the Lord, I said, hey, Lord, let's get a little slack, man. I told Travis, God's giving us a little space to rest. I said, but I need 2 more big jobs this year before this year's out like we had earlier, praise God. So I told the Lord, I said, thank you, Lord, gear us up again. Just go ahead, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Big job, less work, and more money. Thank you, Lord. I said it the other day. Got a phone call today. Guy got a price on a pretty big job. Praise God, give him a price on it. Hallelujah. Shot it back to him. He said, let's get the ball rolling. I've earned me another big job coming on, hallelujah. Well, you know what? I could have sat back and say, Satan just trying to mess with my finances. Satan can't mess with my finances. Satan can't mess with your finances. If you're a sower, tither, and you're a rebuker, my mama used to say, I rebuke you, Satan. It was funny, man. She wouldn't say, I rebuke you. She'd say, I rebuke you, oh, Satan. I rebuke you. I told her one day, I said, Mom, it's rebuke. She said, don't tell me what to say. I know how to say it. I say buke, and he knows what I mean. She old school, Mac. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? I seen my mama even start laying hold of the Word of God. Had her been in church all her life, nearly on and off, and never really did. We didn't know to apply it. We didn't know really that the Word was living. We didn't really know that it would go down and drive sickness out of your body. The Bible says the Word, Paul said the Word is working in me mightily. Right? Well, what's it doing? Bringing revelation. It's driving out things out of our body and all of that stuff, praise God. We just got to stand therefore, the Bible says. We got to stand. Sometimes you just got to stand. The hardest part of faith is waiting. You can get faith and all excited. Woo! Glory to God. God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And you get out and everything looks contrary to it. Right? The hardest part is patience. But when you develop it, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, I think some people like that Adala, he said, well, I'm leaving tomorrow, but you can send me a message and blah, blah, blah. I'm not in a hurry. Right? I'm going to know that I know that I know, hallelujah, that that's what God wants. That's what you need. As far as prospering and all that, the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, you can put that up there. Did you have it? It says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even there's nothing that this world can do to hold you back if you're born of God. If you ain't born of God, then you are subject to your own strength, your own ability. And most of the time, you're going to fail. You're walking without God. But he said, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, what you got to do is take that scripture and get it in you and say, I am a world overcomer. There's nothing in this world that I can't overcome. You know what? Finances. Look, God, I mean, it cost $130,000 for me to have open heart surgery plus $15,000 or $17,000 doctor bills with no insurance, Mac, and I don't owe none of them nothing today 5 years later. 6 years, whatever it's been. I seen God wipe out $130,000 with one phone call. And then I seen him bring in extra money when we complied over other big bills and helped us to overcome. Hallelujah. I laid hands on my house, praise God. I believed for my house 10 years, Mac, where I live right now. I knew that God was going to give me a house. I didn't have no sign, no wonders. I just had an inward knowing that God was going to give me a house. And you know what? Year after year after year, I would ride the back road. Teresa got tired of riding with me. I'm looking at houses. Is that one it? I'd go by, is that one? Is it that one? And I never maneuvered away from church. I didn't move too far. I looked in the vicinity of my place of worship. I didn't move. I've always worked everything in my life around the will of God, around church. You know, because I realize that church is the will of God. And that one thing, if I do the will of God, I grew in leaps and bounds because my heart was committed to the will of God just concerning that. And God began to open doors and move. I mean, one time we couldn't pay our light bill. I had to learn to quit selling. I had to learn to quit begging people. I had to learn to quit cunning people. Walked up to a guy the other day, he's lost, and I looked at him and I asked him, I said, hey, man, I said, have you ever cunned anybody? He looked down at the ground. He's a big old dude, you know. I know him, you know. But he looked at me, you know, and I said, well, I ain't going to tell nobody. I said, I'm just wondering, have you ever cunned anybody? Well, not that I can think of. Like that, and he said, have you? And I said, yes. I said, I sure have. And he said, do you still do it? I said, no, I don't do it no more. I said, but yes, I have cunned. I said, that's why when I get around cuns, I said, you can't cun an ex-cun. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, you have cunned people. You little heathen, he get saved. He told me, he said, yeah. He said, there's that little preacher boy. I started to say, I'm a preacher man. But I'm not a preacher. It's not even in the Bible. Right? I'm a pastor. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I operate in a calling that God, this is part of it, is giving me. I'm an apostle. I start ministries. That's why I try to shove it on you. I try to get you geared up. I try to get you. I enjoy starting ministries. I'm ready for the. You may be leading a clan to the nursing home. I don't know. God's training you. He's training you right now. You're in training. It's doing things spiritually for you and all of that stuff and building you up, but God is showing you things that you don't even know you're going to need until you need it later. Because chapters, things turn, seasons change. They change. They're just like in the natural. Then all of a sudden another season enters into our life and God pushes us, but asks us to go on and lunch out a little deeper in the river, in the water, in the anointing. Hallelujah. And what we think we can't do, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. I just can't quit having anger. Yes, you can. Take the scripture when you feel angry and quote it to yourself. I can do all things through, renew your mind to that. You know what, Johnny? I didn't know that I was in bondage to anger until I got free. Once I got free, I'm like, what, have I been stupid? Man, I was in prison. I went around for years, and even in my marriage, and jealousy, and all, and financial worries. I don't worry about money. I quit worrying about money when I didn't have no money, Dave. I had an old man, rich man, got millions of dollars. He's worried about dying because he can't, his money. Down here, people without money at all. Look, guys, y'all young guys, if you want a good woman, you're gonna have to have a good job. And all of us men said, "Amen, hallelujah, a good job. Work hard. Get ready for that woman because she's expensive." She has dreams. She wants a house. She wants two St. Bernards that eat a whole loaf of bread in one bite. New car, you know. Gonna want a gold ring, a wedding ring. Gonna want a necklace, you know. So go ahead and start when you're 15 and you got your side job and start saving for her. That'll help you not be selfish. Just start saving for her. So, and you know, don't buy your Mustang. Get out of daddy's vehicle and get your own. Hallelujah. I'm anointed to preach this. Right? Hallelujah. I told Travis one time, I said, when you leave home, you're never coming back. Get that in your mind. Never. Somebody asked me the other day something about Travis. I said, knew if he didn't ride with me. It was a men's meeting. It was Monty. He said, Travis ride with you? I said, nope. He's a man. When he got out of my house, I said, he became a man and he gets his own ride. I said, I came alone. I said, he's in the car with Johnny. I could see him. They backed in there. He looks like a police officer. I bet you he's going down the road and everybody's running 70 and 55 and they hit the brake. Johnny probably ain't noticed. You'll get you. They probably hit the brake. They're like, man, that cop almost got me. No, Johnny's like, He don't even know what's happening, praise God. If I seen him sitting on the side of the road, turning around, running 80, I'd hit my brake because I think it's a cop. You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. See, the Word of God works. The victory is already on the inside of you. But you got to take God's Word and you got to say, I fear nothing. People thought I'm it. And I'm arrogant, Matt, because I said, I don't fear nothing. You know where I got that out of the Bible? God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? Well, then why would I want to fear? Because if it's not God, then it's the enemy. And fear torments you. I quit running from storms. I quit running from them. And I endeavored to be led. God, do I know need to go get in a ditch, get in something, you know? Well, Matt, Mr. Royer, is it Mike? Mike Royer? Huh? Oh, yeah. He's the man. He told me that storm was going to come right across me. And I thought, oh, man. I got to get my family out of here, that's what. And so I didn't want to tell Teresa, worse you think I scared. And so I said, let's just go to Tennessee. Let's ride up there to Tennessee. We'll go up there and see Elvis Museum, blah, 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 blah. And so I talked her into it. I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, let's hurry up and get out of here. Well, you know what happened? Got in there running scared. Christians shouldn't be running scared. I'm running scared. And I believe what happened to me happened to Job. God didn't show me. But the Bible said the very thing that Job feared came on him. Well, I got up there, and you know what it done? It turned and met me up there in Nashville, Tennessee. The very storm that I was running from, I didn't know it. I didn't have James Spann on. I could have stayed at home. And I thought, you know what? I'm never doing that again. That cost me about $400 or $500 running from that thing. How many knows fear will cost you? It'll torment you. Praise God. And I mean, don't talk to the devil. Don't mess with him. Put him under your feet. If you have to, I did this one time because I was having these thoughts come to my mind. And I found out in Corinthians over there, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, God woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and told me that scripture. I'd never been to that scripture before, but he said, meditate on it. And I knew what he meant, meditate on it. What he means to when he speaks meditate on something to me, he means for me not to leave that Bible until I know what chapter, what verse, and what it says without going to the Bible. That's what meditation is to me. But I knew this. It says, for though we walk in this natural body, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural. You know, and that's why we have on the armor of God. We have the faith of God. We have the Word of God. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith that quenches all the fire. So what are we worried about Satan for? Right? But we got to cast down imaginations and every high thing. Air conditioning wouldn't come on in Teresa's truck. And I guarantee you, I know a bunch of Christians, personally know them, that would say, boy, the devil. That devil didn't have nothing to do with that air condition. And so, Teresa even mentioned, she said, Christians would say that. Some of them would say, well, the devil just messing with me, trying to get... Sweating can't keep me from going to church. Sweating can't keep me from going to work. Sweating can't keep me from mowing the yard. Right? Hallelujah. The devil ain't got nothing to do with that if I give him credit for it. Praise God. What I got to do? Fix it. Bless God, believe for the anointing to fix it. That devil ain't got nothing to do with it. And if I thought he did, I would do like I'm running down the road. I'm running about 50 miles an hour and I'm having these thoughts of Teresa running around on me and like normal trying to get me in fear and all of that. Satan trying to work on me and all of that. Throwing these thoughts to him, torment me, you know. And man, I just slid off the road, slid down the side of the road, jumped out of my truck, run around there. I was by myself. People pulling off the road. I don't know what they're thinking. Wild man here, what's wrong with him? I go around there and open the door and I tell Satan, I say, get out of my truck right now. I said, you get out and don't you ever get in my truck again. And I just imagined him getting out. So slammed the door and went on. I never had another thought like that the rest of the day. See, he's under my feet. He's under my authority. The Bible says if I'm submitted to God, then I can resist Satan and he has to flee. It don't say he can hang around for a little while. Now he'll leave, but just like with Jesus, he comes back every now and then and tries to get you to take a thought and say it. Jesus said, take no thought saying. Hallelujah. God's word is the basis of our faith, according to Romans 10:17. And y'all young ladies, y'all going to get boyfriends and all of that later on, and all this dating and stuff. Hallelujah. See, you got to watch your emotions. You can feel like you love somebody, but that's not really love. Love is committed. It's a commitment. You can have feelings towards somebody, but you find out what God wants and who God wants. And usually those little fancy ones in there, you know, that's the top dollar ones or whatever in there that you everybody got a crush on and y'all all into it about, he's not the one. He'd stand up and tell y'all right quick, I'm not for y'all. I've got this young lady here. But you need to be praying and fasting. You don't want to get your life jacked up with that stuff.
get into emotional trip and out and emotional trip. We never let Travis date too much till he got on up. You know, all that in-school girlfriend, boyfriend, ripped out, hearts ripped out in the first grade, second grade, fighting over kid, fighting over the boy, first grade, second grade, same thing, third grade, fourth. Time they get to sixth grade, they need a trauma center, Matt. They got to have some deliverance and healing. They done been on an emotional roller coaster. Their hearts, they feel like it's done been ripped out. Now life just no good and nothing's no good. Nobody's no good. That is the trap of the enemy, praise God. Hallelujah. So y'all young kids, fast. Y'all can fast. Lord, is this the one? Lord, is this the one? God just sent Bethy in. She is already born again. If you're saved, then the Bible says for you not to yoke yourself with non-believers. That means don't date non-believers. Don't hook up with a non-believer because you won't persuade them most of the time to get right with the Lord. But your serving the Lord can persuade them. Hallelujah. You know, and just like business or church or anything like that, these people want to come here all the time, help us in the food ministry and all of that stuff, just out of the goodness of their heart, and I tell them it's for members only. It's for members of this church. You know, it's members of the church. Now, I make exceptions every now and then, praise the Lord, slight exceptions, but we don't need people that don't know the vision we have and the game going on and how we do things and all of that stuff. Why? Because it causes conflict. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, let God's Word be first place in final authority over your finances. You're going to prosper. Get it in your mind. Get the prosperity scriptures and stand on it. My house came 10 years later. You know what? I own it today. Me and the bank don't own it anymore. I laid hands on it every other day, and I would call it mine. I would say Wells Fargo and me don't own this. I own this. God, you gave it to me, and I thank you, Lord. And we went and sold our place to my sister. She don't know nothing about it, other than she's living in it. And we told God, we'd give her our place, signed it over to her, our land and everything. And we told God, we said, God, we're sowing this for ours to be debt-free. And we believed that was our seed and our insurance for ours to be debt-free. And so we made payment on it several years, paid it off early, praise God, hallelujah, and blessed. So you can't tell me that it don't work. You work what God's will is. Find out the will of God. Don't just go around, you know, not knowing the will of God. Know what the will of God is. And everything you know to be the will of God, you go after it with all your heart, and God will back you up. God and all heaven will back you up. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Father.